let me in. Shiba, shiba. I want to be closer to you. Shiba, shiba. Open up your soul. Shiba, shiba. Let me find that part of you, the part that nobody ever knew.
Let me touch your.
Hello and welcome to Let Me Touch Your Mind, the show where we try to get you to be something, do something, experience something, enjoy something. And there's something that a lot of people enjoy, but they probably don't talk about it that much. They enjoy having things explained to them that are complicated in like fun and crazy ways, but maybe they don't share it with everybody because they feel that it makes them look nerdy. Well, there's a group that will allow you to be nerdy to your heart's content. There's a nerd night happening somewhere here. Here to talk about it, I'd like to welcome Dr. Tessa Johnson. Hello.
Hello, DJ Marilyn.
How's it going?
It's going great. How are you?
I'm fine. So tell me first, before we talk about nerd night, what makes you qualified to even talk about nerd night?
Well, anybody can give a talk at Nerd Night as long as you're really passionate about some topic.
Uh-huh.
But I'm going to talk about my PhD research.
Ooh.
So I got a PhD in physics quite a while ago now, about 8 years ago. And I was scheduled to give a talk at Nerd Night about this in April of 2020.
And we all know what happened.
That was canceled because of the pandemic. So I'm doing it now.
Well, that's great, though, because you had four extra years under your belt to really, you know, nail it down. So before we get into the what you're talking about, at what point in your life did you discover that you had an affinity for the sciences?
When I was a little kid, I always knew that I was a very strange child, and I decided that I was going to become a physicist when I was like 10 years old.
Wow. What was it like? How did you even hear about it? What was your intro to it?
Yeah, actually, my grandfather, who passed away before I was born, was a soil physicist.
Uh-huh.
So I think I first heard about science and physics through learning about him. But my dad had a friend when I was growing up who was a nuclear engineer. I grew up in a town with a power plant.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, when this friend of my dad's found out I was, like, talented in science and math, he took me to Take Your Daughter to Work Day at the nuclear power plant. And I think that's where my interest in like nuclear physics really started.
Wow. So did you go home and declare, I'm a physicist?
I think I did.
So did you have sort of a very single-minded purpose going through school, or did you kind of meander through it until your college years?
I meandered. I'm also a musician and a dancer, so I did a lot of singing and dancing all through like high school and college too.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was in college, I majored in physics and math and music.
That's great. So when did you have like these parties where you'd have people from like the music side of your life and the physics side of your life and the math side of your life and just have them all like try and communicate with one another?
Actually, yeah, but I can tell you the music people, a lot more fun than the science people.
Even with all that physics stuff, like, I mean, can't they relate to, like, can't the mathematicians at least relate to the intervals in music?
Yeah, I guess so. Like, music is very mathematical, actually.
Okay.
And taking music lessons when you're a kid helps you to become a better mathematician, in fact.
Really? How so?
Yeah. You just get introduced into things like, you know, intervals and all the math in music starts to prepare your brain for learning about, like, abstract concepts in math.
Ah, very good. Very good. So, okay, so you go into physics, and then how do you determine, because I know there's lots of flavors of physics, so how do you determine, or how does it emerge, the flavor of physics that you like?
Yeah, I mean, I think it goes back to when I was going to take your daughter to work day at the nuclear power plant with my dad's friend. I was so interested in nuclear energy and radioactive decay.
Uh-huh.
So I went into a field that was very, like, radioactivity focused.
Uh-huh.
This kind of nuclear astrophysics.
Wow. And does your dad's friend know that he was the inspiration for your career?
He definitely does. I made sure to tell him.
Aw. And does your dad, like, thank him every year with, like, a, I don't know, a holiday ham or something to be like, thank you for keeping my daughter out of trouble all these years?
No holiday ham. But, yeah, I mean, I think my dad thinks it's really cool that I kind of followed in the footsteps of his friend like that.
Okay. So now fast forward to Nerd Night, and you say you're passionate about it. What are you passionate about in terms of talking about physics?
I think there are many different aspects of physics that are very, very interesting,
uh-huh.
but really unknown to people.
Okay.
So there are these giant experiments taking place, multi-million dollar experiments with thousands of people going on all over the world. And a lot of people just don't know about them. And so when I find myself talking about the kind of research that I used to do and the kind of research that's going on out there in the world, people are really surprised and impressed by these experiments. So it's kind of fun to then, like, get up on stage and tell a big group of people about what's going on in science these days.
Okay, well, let's hear one of them that you think is particularly intriguing.
Well, one thing I'm going to talk about is my PhD research comes into this talk that I'm going to do on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And that experiment took place underground in a salt mine in New Mexico. So I had to become a certified miner to be able to go in and be near the experiment and work on the experiment.
Wait, miners have to be certified?
You can go into the mine without being certified, but you can't go into the mine unaccompanied unless you're certified. So I went through like a 40-hour miner's training.
Okay.
And I have a card that labels me a miner for life now.
Wow.
I'm very proud of it.
That's awesome. And so do you take an elevator? Do they lower you down in a rope? Do you take a path? How do you get into the mines where you're going?
There are some big elevators. There's one big elevator and there's one very small elevator. And
okay.
I often took the small elevator, cramped in there with the miners. It was an active mine.
Uh-huh.
So a lot of times it was like me and a bunch of miners all taking that tiny little elevator shaft down.
Okay. And so the miners are going off to mine. What are you doing? Because obviously you're turning in a different direction at some point in your trek.
Yes. So they go on they go to like one side of the mine to do the active mining and, you know, do the operations that are normal in the mine.
Mm-hmm.
We went to an opposite side of the mine where our experiment was. So there's all kinds of, like, and this is totally normal, so nobody should be afraid of this, but there's radioactive stuff coming in through the atmosphere. And if we did a physics experiment on the surface of the Earth,
mm-hmm.
all of that cosmic radiation would ruin the experiment. So we'd go underground to use the Earth as a shield.
Oh.
So the Earth then shields us from all of that, like, cosmic background radiation.
Uh-huh.
And so we went to this opposite quarter of the mine. There were a couple, like, shipping containers underground where our experiment was.
What is the experiment?
We were searching for a special kind of radioactive decay. Called neutrinoless double beta decay.
Okay.
And we had a big drum full of this noble gas called xenon,
mm-hmm.
but it was super cooled, so it was a liquid. And all these little photosensors around that liquid xenon drum,
mm-hmm.
So if a radioactive decay occurred, we could measure it. And all that was underground. It's surrounded by all of this shielding. So I can't, like, see the drum. It's behind a bunch of shielding.
Mm-hmm.
But we have all these monitors underground so we can monitor what's going on in the experiment.
Okay, I have a lot of questions. Okay, I'm gonna sort of go in the order that they appeared in my brain. The first question is, how, even though the Earth shields you, because you guys are going up and down in an elevator that you know you guys are getting on from, how do you keep the radiation from outside to just sort of, you know, seep in every time you open the elevator door? That's one. Number two, explain decay to our audience because they may not be familiar with it. And then explain why a noble gas, what it is, and why that was so important. So those are three questions. First, the radiation.
Okay. So the first question is, like, you know, we open the elevator shaft. So obviously air comes in, and a mine needs pure air so we can breathe.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't bring the radioactivity. So the radioactivity, like, if you think about a point in space and something just flying in one direction, and maybe mm-hmm. it'll run into the Earth.
Okay.
And be captured by the Earth, essentially. So something coming from the atmosphere is just going to shoot straight down. It's not carried by the air.
Okay.
So it doesn't matter that we have that elevator shaft.
Okay.
And in fact, that shaft, like, allows clean air to come in, and that's good for us. So that was one.
So you're like, so you're basically saying, it's like, think of it as sort of like lasers that are just, you know, or pellets that are bouncing off the ground. They're not really sort of airbound things.
Oh, that's a perfect way to think about it. Thinking about a laser. Like, so if you were to shoot a laser at the ground just absorbs it. That's kind of like the ground absorbing that, you know, radioactive stuff from the atmosphere.
Okay.
And exactly.
It doesn't get absorbed by your shoes or anything, and you're not, you know, tracking in stray radiation.
No.
Okay.
But there are, like, little trace radioactive things in the air and on our skin and in our shoes. So to go near the detector, we actually suit up in a special suit.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, it's both. It's like trying to keep any trace radioactive stuff that might come in on our clothes
mm-hmm.
from being near the detector, and then using the Earth as a shield from, you know, radioactive stuff that doesn't get transferred on our shoes.
Okay.
So it's both.
Okay. Now talk about decay.
Okay. So radioactive decay is when an atom, the nucleus of an atom, so some people learn about atoms in, like, chemistry class.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sometimes that atom is unstable, and it wants to turn into something else
mm-hmm.
to be a more stable atom.
Okay.
This is very, very common. It's going on around us all the time. It's totally normal. But what happens is that in the nucleus of that atom,
mm-hmm.
the nucleus changes a little bit, and it emits some things. Like, it might emit some electrons.
Okay.
And in fact, that's the kind of decay that we are searching for underground, is the decay of a nucleus that lets off a couple of electrons.
So is that decay then, like, does an atom ever decay to nothing?
Nope, never.
So it always...
But I can tell you, scientists are looking into that.
Oh.
And so far, nobody's ever found an atom decaying to nothing.
So basically...
The components of an atom don't decay to nothing.
So when an atom decays, it's basically shedding its skin to go be a part of something else?
That's exactly right. That's a great way to think about it. Yeah, it's like shedding one. It's like molting.
Okay.
Shedding its skin and becoming a new thing.
Okay. And why is knowing... Okay, why are you looking for this particular decay?
So this particular decay that we are looking for, it's never been observed yet. There are many scientists looking for it because it has a really big implication into, like, the beginning of the universe,
mm-hmm.
actually. But if we were to find this decay, it would essentially tell us, and this is where things actually get kind of complicated, it would tell us that there's a certain fundamental particle that could have caused the universe to grow into what it is today, essentially.
Oh.
And we can skip some of those details. And in fact, if you want those details, you should come to Nerd Night on Wednesday.
Okay. So we talked about the decay that you're looking for, and now you're going to the reason I ask about noble gases is because I remember when my nephew was learning about noble gases, and he just loved them, and I didn't I had a very bad chemistry history, so I knew nothing of noble gases. So explain noble gases and why they're important.
Yeah, so a noble gas is a gas like helium is one, argon is one, neon is one, xenon is one, and they're a gas that's very, very stable.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't see, so a lot of people know about like H2O, right? Water is made up of mm-hmm. hydrogen and oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
Both hydrogen and oxygen are gases, but they're unstable gases. So they become stable by joining together into H2O and they become water. But a noble gas doesn't do that. So argon doesn't combine with anything else. It's usually just argon.
Okay.
Xenon doesn't combine with anything else, just xenon.
Okay.
So they're great to use for particle detectors. So if you cool them down and make a liquid out of these gases, they make great particle detectors. And that's why we use xenon.
Okay. So in finding this, I'm going to call it the God atom, the origin atom, what do they hope to learn? Like once you found it, what are you going to do with that information?
Yeah, so if we were to find that special decay, it would mean that it would solve what is called the matter-antimatter asymmetry problem.
And what is that?
This is what the talk is about. And it's about if there was a Big Bang at the beginning of the universe, it should have created equal amounts of matter and antimatter. And that matter and antimatter should have just annihilated itself and left us with nothing. But instead, we have atoms, we have stars, we have planets. So that means that we were missing some antimatter somewhere. And if we were to find this special radioactive decay, it would solve that problem.
But how does it solve that problem?
It solves that problem by telling us, this becomes a little bit complicated, but there's a special fundamental particle called the neutrino, and it's emitted in these decays. It's emitted in radioactive decays.
Mm-hmm.
But if we found this special kind of radioactive decay that we're looking for, it would mean that the neutrino could convert into its antimatter self and become an antineutrino and like essentially annihilate itself. So if that were true and it could flip into like its antimatter self, it could have caused more of the antimatter at the beginning of the universe to decay away and leaving the matter left over that became our known universe.
So stop me. I'm going to paraphrase what I think you're saying, and then you're going to correct me. So you're saying that there is like this big explosion. It divided into matter and antimatter, but it's possible that the antimatter just sort of dissolved on its own, leaving the universe as we know it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that must have happened somewhere along the line, or we wouldn't have a universe. So, yes, that's exactly right. And there are many hypotheses as to, like, you said the antimatter dissolved, but what caused it to dissolve? One of the things could have been if this little particle called a neutrino could flip into its antimatter self. And the way that we discover that is by searching for this special kind of radioactive decay.
Wow, that's blowing my mind. I have to say, it's really blowing
it's
my mind.
It's a little convoluted.
No. But it's fascinating, yeah. And that's what you're going to be talking about at Nerd Night.
Yeah.
So what is
Nerd Night? Is fun. It's you can go to the bar, you can drink beer, you can drink wine. They have a special cocktail every week. So I'm going to be talking about that, the matter antimatter asymmetry problem, and the research that I did. And there's a guy giving a talk on semiconductors. There's a person giving a talk on like beavers and climate change. It's different every time. Like a new person gives a talk on like science or history Or just some nerdy topic that they're interested in.
Okay, so let's back up. So where does Nerd Night happen, and do you know how long it's been around, or had you been going to it for a long time? Tell me more.
Yeah, there are Nerd Nights all over the country. I think it might have started in New York many, many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I've been going for like 6 years, actually. I went for the first time 6 years ago to see a friend of mine give a talk, thought it was a lot of fun. And I go to Nerd Night frequently, and I'm really excited to now talk at it.
Uh-huh.
But I know, like, there's a Nerd Night in Florida. There's one in L.A. It's a kind of like a big national event with local chapters. So the San Francisco local chapter, does its own thing, but it's a big part of like the Nerd Night as a whole.
So does Nerd Night always happen in the same locale, or does it move around?
It always happens in San Francisco at the Rickshaw Stop.
Oh, where's that?
In Hayes Valley. So it's on Fell Street. It's like Fell and...
I'm looking it up.
Goff, I believe.
Yes, 155 Fell. 155 Fell. Okay. And so you've been going for 6 years, and you finally get to talk and pour the contents of your brain into someone else's brain. So you and there's going to be a number of people talking about just about everything?
Yeah, there are always three talks. So, always three. They're always different. So I'm just one of the three.
Okay. So the Nerd Night is this Wednesday, right?
Yep. This Wednesday, doors are at 7 p.m., you can buy tickets at the door, but you can also buy them online if you go to sf.nerdnight.com.
Oh, is that Nerd Night spelled like night or like proper night, or is it the short night, N-I-T-E?
N-I-T-E.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Nerd Night with night spelled N-I-T-E.
Okay. So we have like just a couple of minutes left. So you mentioned the topic that you're going to cover, which is, you know, how you got your PhD. But give our audience a little taste of another fascinating experiment or research that's happening that they can sort of follow up on their own.
Research that's happening. Oh, this is, I think, really, really fun. And it's related to I was just talking about the antimatter, matter asymmetry of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
One of the hypotheses about what happens to antimatter is that it is on the other side of the universe, and that there's like an antimatter half of the universe.
Oh.
So that is one of the things that astronomers are searching for. So you could follow up on your own and looking for matter-antimatter asymmetry, but searching for research into the antimatter universe and how scientists are trying to search for that.
Now, I'm going to go and say, without any scientific backing whatsoever, that the matter is inside and the antimatter is like a crispy coating, like an M&M, like it's coating the universe. That's going to be my thesis about how the universe is formed, that the antimatter is trying to crush and the matter is just like, nope, we're good. So,
love it.
One more time for our listening audience, when and where for Nerd Night?
So Nerd Night this week is on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Doors are at 7 p.m. It's at the Rickshaw Stop in Hayes Valley and on Fell Street. And you can look at the agenda and you can buy tickets ahead of time at sf.nerdnight.com with night spelled N-I-T-E.
All right. Well, Dr. Tessa Johnson, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, DJ Marilyn. I'm so honored to have been on your show.
Well, thank you. People of Earth, this is your opportunity. If you want to nerd out with science while you're getting your drink on or getting your snack on, it's Nerd Night. And I got from Brain Beats, A Little Chemistry.
Can we Noble gases don't mean the ones our body passes. I mean HE for helium,
also
NE for neon, RN is radon, AR is argon, KR stands for krypton. Isn't that where Superman came from? F stands for fluorine, CL for chlorine, BR is bromine, AT is astatine, I is for iodine. Now I need another line to fit right here. Oh well, forget it, never mind. O is for oxygen, yeah. N is for nitrogen, yeah. C is for carbon, yeah. D is for boron. I've got the feeling, you and me, we got a little chemistry. Can we talk about it? I've got the feeling, you and me, we got a little chemistry. Can we talk about it? Al is aluminum, Ga is gallium, In is indium, Tl is thallium, Si is silicone, Ge stands for germanium, Pb that's for lead, Fl is fluorovium, Sn that's for tin. When I get crazy, let's begin. Au is gold, that's something that we all wanna win. Pt is platinum, I'd love to have some. I'll settle for a glass of milk, Ca gives us calcium. H is for hydrogen, yeah. Li is lithium, yeah. K is potassium, yeah. Na is sodium. I've got the feeling, you and me, we got a little chemistry. Can we talk about it? I've got the feeling, you and me, we got a little chemistry. Can we talk about it?
Ti, that's titanium. Cr, chromium. When my stomach hurts, I need milk of magnesia. Two thumbs up for Mg magnesium. Rb, rubidium. What's that? An alkali metal. Is that a fact? Another metal that I think is cool. It's one I learned about back in school. It's used in fireworks and flares, lighting up the sky everywhere. I'm talking about Sr, strontium. That's enough of that. Let's move on.
Yeah.
My favorite place to get this next metal is steak. I'm referring to Fe for iron, Zn for zinc. Put that on my plate. I'm not gonna be able to see you for supper, but see. U does stand for copper, Ni is nickel, Ag for silver. If you know that, say it louder. Hg is for mercury, not the planet, the transition metal, you see. All this was a little dose, a little tiny bit of chemistry.
I've got the feeling, you and me, we got a little chemistry. Can we talk about it? I've got the feeling, you and me, we got a little chemistry. Can we talk about it? I've got the feeling, you and me, we got a little chemistry. Can we talk about it? I've got the feeling, you and me, we got a little chemistry. Can we talk about it?
Maybe a mantra.
heart attack. A string of computations you don't solve from front to back. Wishing that your teacher would cut you some slack. Not your fault you were moved to the back of the class. Hey kid, now here's what you do. Just listen to the song and follow one simple rule. Memorize the words that I'm singing to you. And you'll look back on yourself and you'll feel like a fool. PEMDAS, parentheses, RP, perform all those before anything, please. Then your E exponents on the top like trees, soaring high above the other operations, can't you see? PEMDAS, I'm multiplying, divide, got your M and your D. Don't skip them, don't be shy, you're PEMDAS. Now what's the A and the S? That's addition and subtraction, save the best for last. I'm talking PEMDAS. Oh yeah. I'm just telling you, mathematics ain't worth the stress. Follow the order of the letters I said. It's not left to right, it's not right to left. P to the E to the M to the dash. Be the coolest kid in your math class. Solve these equations and you'll have a good laugh. Now don't forget the chorus cause you're having a blast. PEMDAS, parentheses, RP, perform all those before anything, please. Your E exponents on the top like trees, soaring high above the upper operations, can't you see? So multiply and divide your M and your D. Don't skip them, don't be shy, you're PEMDAS. Now what's the A and the S? Well, that's addition and subtraction, save the best for last. I'm talking PEMDAS. Oh yeah, I'm talking PEMDAS.
I'm talking PEMDAS. It's Emma Jane from Brain Beats 2. Gabriella Robin doing Greenbird. Greenbird is from Cowboy Bebop. And Renaud Francoeur and A Little Chemistry. That is from the Volume 1 of Brain Beats. Who's about to touch your mind right now? Well, there's so much happening in the city in regards to cannabis and bingo. It's like a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup, only, you know, with pot. Here to talk about it, I'd like to welcome DJ Dank, also known as Dan Carcosco. Welcome.
Hello, Marilyn. Nice to be here.
Nice to have you. So tell me a little bit first about how you became DJ Dank.
Oh, well, I became DJ Dank. I mean, Facebook reminded me almost 16 years ago I became DJ Dank.
Was that when you
and,
first hit
I
the
had,
city?
I started DJing at the Scent Saloon many moons ago at a goth night. I'd never really DJed before. I was always a big fan of music.
Uh-huh.
And the manager had opened up this night, this goth night with his boyfriend. They broke up after the first week. Didn't want to do it anymore. So my boyfriend at that time, David Hawkins, he said, "Hey, I'll DJ." And I said, "Don't I?" And so he goes, "Here, you guys go do it." And so we just kind of took it over and eventually DJed there for 2 years. And that's kind of how DJ Dank started. People kept on telling me that it was, "Oh, you have the coolest name ever." But I named it originally because Dank sounded like a dungeon. It's my first name and my first initial.
Mm-hmm.
And so Dan K. And so Dank was like, "Oh, that's like a dungeon." And it took me a while to realize it was a weed term. And so now I've been living off that weed term for years, and now that I realize what it was, they didn't really use Dank in Dallas, Texas back in the day. So.
So that's, it's like the name chose you.
Kind of, yeah. And then and it had so much meaning on it that I had no clue that I was doing. So I was like, well, it was obviously supposed to be.
All right, now let's talk a little bit about Bongo Bingo. Like, first of all,
Bongo Bingo.
What is it? When did it start? Give me the 411.
You know, I think we started around 2 years ago. Actually, probably a bit longer. We first started at Mo Green's, and now we're at Mission Cannabis Club.
Mm-hmm.
But it's Drag Cannabis Bingo. And, you know,
wait. Stop. Let's let that sink in for our listening audience. Drag cannabis bingo. Okay.
Yes.
It's a complicated phrase that I want to revel in for a little bit.
Especially when you get stoned.
Okay. Drag cannabis bingo.
Continue. I co-hosted with two amazing drag performers, The Pristine Condition, who I've been doing shows with for about that whole 15 years that I've been DJ Dank.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then Brandylicious, who I first met when I first got in the cannabis industry, started working with the cannabis industry about 2015. I met her, and some friends were like, "Well, you know, she really wants to do drag." I'm like, "Oh, uh-huh, great." And they go, "No, she really wants to do drag." And so I'm kind of asking her if she wanted to do a drag. "Oh, I don't know. And so then finally she did it. And this has happened many times when you put the newbie on the stage and they're like, oh, I don't know, I'm a little nervous. And they come off the stage and their eyes are kind of bugged out and have this look on their face.
Uh-huh.
And yep, you're going to do that again.
So they loved it.
She has turned into one of the most amazing performers. Brandylicious. She's married and has two kids. A couple of months ago, I DJed something on the Difference Wharf, some big drag buffet type thing, and I had some free tickets, and I gave them to Brandy, and she brought her daughter, who was like 10 or 11, and she was so excited to be there. It just made me so happy knowing, you know, here's this little girl whose mom is going off to be drag queen and doing those crazy fun things. It's just such great energy.
Dan, let me interrupt you because your phone is being funky and computery.
Okay.
So I don't know what's going on with it, but because it was fine. It was fine at the beginning. So maybe you need to change your angle or something like that. But so you were. I have no idea what you just said. So you're listening to 89.5 FM KPOO San Francisco. We are going to get back with Dan in just a moment while he figures
out.
I'm saying it again.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. Yes.
Okay. I'm outside.
Okay. So Dan, you were talking about the 11-year-old who came to, was it Bingo Bongo?
Yes. Well, Brandylicious has two kids, and so we had this drag brunch, and she had extra tickets since she brought her daughter, and her daughter had chosen her own makeup and her own outfit, and she was so excited, got her picture made with all the drag queens.
Oh, nice.
And all that kind of stuff, and it just made me feel good knowing that, you know, that seeing somebody like that, being able to, number one, realize her dreams, and then watching her daughter just really get off on watching her mom do something like that and be so cool and all that. So it was just really sweet. But Brandylicious also co-hosted with me along with The Pristine Condition.
Mm-hmm.
We are every second and fourth Saturdays of the month at Mission Cannabis Club from 6 to 9 p.m.
Now, where is Mission Cannabis Club?
Mission Cannabis Club is a dispensary. It is located on Mission between 20th and 21st Street, about two blocks down from like the Alamo Draft House.
Okay.
And they have an amazingly beautiful smoking lounge up top. It's very nice and glamorous. And we play probably around 12 rounds of bingo per night. We have a little drag break halfway through. We have a couple of our sponsors that are always there to provide, you know, treats. We have Manzanita Naturals, which is an infused soda company.
Mm-hmm.
And they show up and do mocktails for us every time. And they're super tasty and delicious. You can choose whether you want sativa or hybrid. If you want 5 milligrams, 10 milligrams, they usually have like an Arnold Palmer or strawberry iced tea.
You make mocktails with pot? What?
Yeah, well, you put the cannabis infused liquid into your little drink, and it turns it into a mocktail.
Wow, the world is so much more modern than I even imagined.
Oh, you know, considering that what we had when we were growing up, I mean, you barely, you know, you had to go buy weed from a dealer and go to their house and all that kind of stuff. Now, you can go to a dispensary, you can buy sodas with like all kinds of flavors, all kinds
wow.
of levels of strength. It's amazing when you go to these dispensaries and see what you can do these days. Gummies as well. It's just a giant market now. But we offer free mocktails throughout the evening from Manzanita Naturals. We also have this company, Ooka, O-O-K-A, created the new hookah, and they show up and they plug in their little, like, plug-ins with the cannabis. It's like a big hookah, and you can just go and make and have tokes all night long. Just go by there and visit. So we offer ways to get high while you're playing bingo in order to win cannabis to get even higher.
Okay. All right. that there's a lot to unpack in that. So let me just go back a little bit to
sure.
First of all, how did you get involved with the cannabis industry and how did you come up with Bongo Bingo?
Well, I got involved with the cannabis industry when a friend of mine, Veronica Guevara, started selling ad space for, I believe it was The Guardian, mm-hmm. and one of her and some of her clients, her cannabis clients. And so we would meet her after her work, and she would go, "Oh my God, do you know that there's cannabis lube?" And I'm like, "There's cannabis lube." I'm like, "Oh my God, what kind of world is this?" And so that just got me intrigued by it,
uh-huh.
you know. And at that time, I was doing, I was producing content for Under the Golden Gate with Maria Connor.
Mm-hmm.
And I told her about this. We're like, "Oh my God, there's a giant cannabis world out there we don't know about." And so she's like, "We should do something about it." So we decided to make a little news magazine. And go and interview different people we've met in the cannabis industry, including the people with the weed lube, and talk to them about the, you know, the modern day cannabis industry. And so we interviewed everybody, we cut it all together, we made a little news magazine, and so we decided to have a launch party at the Stud.
Uh-huh.
Back then, Michael, remember Michael, who was behind all the Tranny Shack and all that stuff,
okay.
was still there. And he was like, "Sure, come on, let's do it." And so we did it, and we had a really great time. And you know what? That news magazine never really took off big, but that party was fantastic. And I remember Michael and then Bernadette, the bartender there, they came to me and said, "You should make this into a monthly." I'm like,
"Okay.
Huh, never thought about it. Let's do it." And so we did, and that's how we created Puff, which was the very first, it was the very first queer cannabis anything, period. There was a whole world of the cannabis, and you would go into it and meet people, and there were lots of people from all over the spectrum of everything. But there was never anything specifically about LGBTQ people being able to hang out together and talk about weed. And so that's what we created with Puff. And that went on for a while. That went on until COVID closed us down.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so coming out of that, I was thinking, well, what do I want to do? Do I really want to get back into the club scene and like be a DJ and DJ from like, you know, 9 o'clock till 2 a.m? Is that something I still want to do? And I thought, well, you know, I think maybe I'm going to move on over to the weed world and kind of see what's going on over there and kind of apply my trade that I've learned all these years doing club shows and DJing and all that and move it into the weed into the smoking lounges.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started off with doing a cannabis cabaret, like getting on a key.
Your phone's doing that thing again.
Wonderful performers. And then Dan,
your phone's doing that thing again.
Well, I'm just trying to get it.
So you're listening to 89.5 FM KPOO, San Francisco. Dan, are you still there?
I'm still here.
So maybe it's the angle that you are pointed in, because I know that can have an effect on... so just keep talking.
Do I sound good here?
Yes. So just freeze yourself in that position.
I'm freezing.
Okay.
And so after that... you know, I don't know what's going on. Usually I have really good reception. Maybe there's like a satellite going by or something.
It's the world. So you decided to stay in the weed industry and...
The weed industry.
And so...
And so from there, I created the Cannabis Cabaret. And then I'm working on Tokioki, which is drag cannabis karaoke. But the one that... one that really took off was Bongo Bingo.
Okay.
You know, I'd seen... You know, the Sisters of a Perpetual Indulgence doing drag bingo and all these other kinds of things. But I started doing research, and there was nothing going on with cannabis and bingo. And then, of course, since I've produced drag shows for 15 years, you got to throw some drag in there. It makes it more fun.
Exactly.
Put a little show in it, is what I always say.
It's an untapped market.
Exactly. Well, you know, I would go to these big cannabis get-togethers, and you would have all the weed on the world, and then maybe you might get a DJ. But a lot of times, it's just people standing around being stoned, and I was like, coming from the world I came from, like, going, "Excuse me, when's the show starting?
Yeah,
where's your DJ? Where are the drag queens? Where's the burlesque queen?
You know, exactly.
Stand-up comedian? Come on, everybody's stoned. It'll be funny." You know, and so that's kind of where I brought my point of view in. And so definitely with Bongo Bingo, you know, I it's not overrun with drag. We start with a couple of drag numbers.
Mm-hmm.
We do about 6 rounds of bingo.
Mm-hmm.
We take a little break. People can go and, you know, do whatever. We come back, have a couple more numbers, then we continue on. So the finale, we give away the bong. We always give away a bong because we are a Bongo Bingo.
Sure, of course, of course. So because people are stoned when they're playing it, do people ever like think they have bingo?
Oh, all the time. Are you kidding me? Okay, so part of bongo bingo is accepting the mistakes you make when you're stoned.
Okay.
Because you're going to do it. It's going to happen all the time. I make mistakes. I mean, the other day, I think my manzanita had kicked in, and I had a ball in one hand and a microphone in the other, and I turned to speak into the ball. You know, it was just because sometimes you're just stoned, and it's just fine, and it's great. But yes, many times people pre-bingo all over the place.
Okay.
And it's okay to pre-bingo. It's just we just keep on going. We always tell everybody, don't clear your boards. We're going to check it out. We make sure they got it beforehand.
Now,
but yes, many people have completely been completely wrong, or they misunderstood what we were saying, or all that kind of stuff. But that's fine, because that's just part of being stoned.
Oh, yeah, I thought you said L12. There's no
L in
bingo.
Right, totally.
So I don't even know what you're pressing. Oh, that's hilarious. So you mentioned the wacky things that have cannabis in them. One of them was lube. What's another like thing that you were like, they put cannabis in that?
Oh gosh, I'm trying to think. When I was saying that, I knew there was something else in my brain that really sucked us into. I'm trying to think what it was, but nowadays they put weed in all kinds of sodas and drinks. The edibles are getting more and more flavorful. That you almost can't tell there's weed in them. You really have to watch out sometimes. But I'm drawing a blank. But
okay.
I'm sure it'll pop in my brain any moment now.
So okay, so we've got lube. I know that there's cookies. And what cracked me up, I once went to a dispensary with a friend, and I was like, you go to this dispensary, because they were getting weed for like pain management. And I was surprised, but it was like going into a Sephora or something. It was so like, she, and it's like, oh, well, we have this for this and this for that.
Yes.
It just cracked me up.
There were a couple I went to where they would come to you like it was your appointment. They go, we're ready for you now. I'm like, excuse me?
Yeah, it's gone from an underground industry.
Mission Cannabis Club is a wonderful space. I really enjoy the management there. They have some really good products there. I highly recommend them. Also, I'm a big fan of over in my neighborhood, the new Spark. Now, Spark is interesting because they have all their stuff set up like a grocery store. You walk through and look at stuff, and you can pick it up and look at it. I like that.
Okay. And where's
I like that interaction.
Okay, so where is Bingo Bongo happening, and where is Spark? Because people, I'm sure there are people out there who are like, I'm going to do both.
Well, Spark is on Polk Street, right next door to the Cinch Saloon, which is in between Clay and Washington.
Okay.
And like I said, they have good bargains all the time, but we can't do shows there because they don't have a smoking lounge yet.
Okay.
But Mission Cannabis Club, like I said, is down in the Mission, on Mission between 20th and 21st.
And when is Bongo Bingo happening?
It happens the second and fourth Saturdays of the month, so it'll be happening this coming Saturday at 6 p.m.
Okay. And do you need to reserve a spot? Can you buy tickets in advance, or can you just show up? How does it work?
We usually just have people show up.
Up
around 6 o'clock and get in line, and you can purchase your boards and all that kind of stuff and get in and get settled up. So we don't really have a pre-sale yet.
And can people, like, I'm guessing because you got a bunch of stoners, can people show up late?
Oh, yes. You can come, you can show up. Many people show up at the very beginning so they can get to see other people. We have people showing up halfway through, near the end.
Uh-huh.
A lot of times we have people who are just there to smoke weed, and they see what we're doing, and by the end of the night, they have four bingo cards, and they're, having a great time.
Okay. So, and can they get tickets online, or how does it go?
Nope, just pretty much have to come to Mission Cannabis Club to get your tickets.
Okay. And then as DJ Dank, what have you got coming down the pike?
Well, I have a birthday show.
I'm DJing a
birthday evening at Zhuzh.
Where's Zhuzh?
Which is the new gay bar on California.
California and what?
California and Polk.
Two
doors up from the old Encore Karaoke.
Okay.
I think it was Cactus Jacks before? Or something like that. But yes, it's right up there. The guy named Aaron owns it. Super nice guy. And he said that he was going to use a lot of his money promoting to just hire DJs to do DJ events. So I've been doing several there, and so I'm going to do one on August 28th, which is a Wednesday, from 9 p.m. to 1 a.m. And I'm going to play my favorite disco and electro and pop, 70s pop music and all kinds of fun music. And I'm getting some of my friends who are drag performers to come and perform about 10:30. It's free to get in. And then for visuals, I'll be playing all of my, I have a collection of 1980s male stripper videos.
Excellent.
Like Chippendales and Playgirl like that. And they are hilarious because they're all these cute 80s guys in their little short shorts and their mustaches and their little halter tops and everything.
Do they kind of look like Tom of Finland clones or?
Oh, all kinds of, oh yeah. I mean, you go in, you're like, oh my God, yeah. Definitely had kind of a clone look, definitely.
Now, is
but
that...
most of them are dated from like 1984 to 86.
And is that your official, is that your birthday day or?
No, my actual birthday day is September 1st. I'm a Virgo.
Okay.
But and you know what? For my birthday this year, I'm going to go see ELO. I've never seen it. I'm very excited at Chase.
What, Electric Light Orchestra?
But no, this will be the Wednesday before.
Okay. And you say it's free and anyone can show up?
As long as you're 21 and over.
Excellent.
And yeah, it should be a fun time. I'm hoping, you know, it's a little bit later in the evening on a school night, but I'm hoping to still have a good time, and I'm going to play some fantastic music.
Okay. So we've got Bongo Bingo, we've got your birthday gig, and you've got time for one more thing.
Coquettes.
Ooh, what's...
The Coquettes Nouveau. Uh-huh. We had a fundraiser for the Coquettes last Saturday because we're trying to get back to Joe's Pub in New York City to perform. We're going to do two shows in October, October 6th at Joe's Pub.
Uh-huh, in New York?
And so we're raising money to travel there because we're poor. We're all artists, and we really can't afford it. So we've had a couple of fundraisers. We had one at the Cinch last Saturday. We had one a couple of months ago at the Roxy Theater. And we'll probably have another one coming up in Oakland next month. But if people are interested in donating and helping us get there, we do have a GoFundMe.
Okay, and what's
we are actively trying to get people to come and donate to. And they can always find us and see what's going on. Coquettes Nouveau on Instagram.
Excellent. Well, DJ Dank, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today. You've amused me immensely with the...
Well, I'm so glad.
With the cannabis lube and, you know, stoners trying to play bingo. And it all paints a picture that is really fun to imagine. So thank
you so
much.
You know, it's a fun life I've created for myself. I have to admit, it's always entertaining.
who knew many years ago when they were talking about Reefer Madness that it's
come to
this. Oh,
yeah, it's
going to
make you crazy. It has.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Marilyn. You have a great day, and thanks for including me in your show.
Oh, no problem. People of Earth, I've said it all. It's just about time for me to turn the mic over to Mr. Ford. It'll be pleasuring your ear hole. Until next week, my friends, ta-ta and toodly-doo.
What you gonna do, bud? I'm gonna light up, Jack.